if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 348. This is our 2025 Masters Tournament Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for the Masters. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our well-famous Golf Betting System website where we have my in-depth Masters betting preview. We also have a research document on there. You can look through all the key trends and course analysis. Paul has pulled together some delicious Augusta National strokes gained rankings. They are absolutely fantastic. I'll put a link in the description. Detailed form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for all of the 2025 Masters action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration process. We are available on X. You can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Lots and lots of new subscribers on there. So hello to you all. I'll tell you what I'm going to point out here quickly. 197 five-star reviews we've got from UK listeners. So can I just say, we are so close to 200, it'd be insane for you guys not to actually just type a 30-second five-star review. So get tapping. Let's get through that 200 barrier. So if you're in the UK, Apple Podcasts, please leave us a five-star review. Right, so our Masters Tips podcast. It's the joint biggest of the year, each and every year, Masters Open Championship. And what we're going to do here, I'm going to highlight a golf betting system exclusive. Now, we have got an exclusive Rory McIlroy bet boost available with Bet365. So I'm going to put a link in the podcast description, which takes you through to that boosted price. You will see the price on the top left-hand page of the Bet365 homepage. Basically, receive an extra point on Rory. So currently, he's 15-2 via our bet boost price rather than their standard 13-2. You can also use the boost. This is great. Win only or in their 8 places each way of 50 odds market. So 15-2 rather than their standard 13-2, Rory McIlroy at the Masters. As I said, the link is in the podcast description box. Price quoted, of course, is correct at time of podcast recording. What I will say is the price is flexible. So if Rory drifts or if Rory gets shortened, you will always get that additional point through that Rory McIlroy bet boost. So check that one out. Let's talk quickly about the Bet365 Majors competition, Paul. We are literally within a few days of closing the gate on our entries. Can you take the listeners through that quickly, please?
Yeah, you're right. It's you'll need to get your entries in before the first tee time at Augusta on Thursday. And basically what we want you to do is we want a name for the Masters. We want a name for the PGA Championship, we want a name for the US Open and a name for the Open Championship. So a different name for each, one and done effectively. And what we'll do is we'll collate all of the entries up from everyone around the world onto one big leaderboard, and you accrue points based on where your player or the dollar earnings that your player achieves from the major that you've selected them for. So we create a big leaderboard of everyone. We've got it's well over 200 entries already, and I expect we'll double that at least by the time we start on Thursday. And then at the end of the Open Championship, we'll have a winner. We'll see who's top of the leaderboard. That person will get £150 or currency equivalent as their prize. Second place is £75. Third place is £25. Free to enter. Lots of ways you can enter. Facebook, on X, via email, whatever floats your boat. So yeah, I'm sure Steve will add the details to the description. So get involved, please.
I believe, Barry, you've entered your team. Is that correct?
I did.
Can you tell the listeners what that team is?
Is that not compromising the integrity of the entire? No problem at all. I'm happy to share my picks.
These are the four names to avoid, listeners.
Here we go. And this, it's obvious now that Bet365 are listening to the podcast and me, because I've been going on about them for so long, and they're willing to put their neck on the line for an extra point. Rory for the Masters.
Brilliant.
Then I've gone... Oh, hang on. I was looking at the wrong thing there. Oberg for the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Xander for the US Open. I think Xander Oakmont feels like a kind of a thing that can work, you know, quite well. And Scotty Scheffler for the Open Championship. I think by that time of year, Scotty will have really got everything firing beautifully again. Yeah, and he can move the ball both ways, flight it up, flight it down. I think that just works really well with Portrush.
Mm.
We see with Americans, apart from Colin Morikawa, that they tend to take a bit of time to get used to links golf. So I can kind of follow that. But the guy, I mean, when he's at his best, he's got the ball on the string. So that makes a lot of logical sense. Maybe, you never know. You might get more than 5-1 by that time.
The thing I almost gets me most excited about this competition is I take the four picks and I put them into an accumulator. So I put €10 each way on the accumulator, all eight places, and you just see a lovely, you know, almost €70,000 return. So it's like, bring it on, or fall flat on its face.
And then you see the cash out button getting more and more red with a bigger number at the end of every major.
That'd be a fun dilemma going into the Open Championship with Scotty Scheffler being your horse, wouldn't it?
Oh dear, you might be getting a little ahead of yourself, Barry.
Anyway, before then, we have one of the biggest questions ever to answer is, can Rory McIlroy win the Masters on his 17th attempt?
Mm.
It's a big question. Let's talk about that after we have a quick review of last week. Anyway, if you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their Bet £10, get £30 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code Paul.
Sport30, SPORT30.
When registering. The old Sport30 is back. Right. Last week, let's keep it very short. Very, very short, because we want to talk about Rory. Agreed. Brian Harman wins, completely out of the blue. Really needed the victory, has to be said. Especially from a Ryder Cup perspective, there was an emotional tie to it. He also changed his putter for the week, and from a point where I was backing him at both, I think I backed him at the Cognizant and I backed him at the API, and he was losing about 9 strokes each week with the putter. All of a sudden, he was back to the usual Brian Harman, stroking it in and playing some very nice approach play. Let's just take you through the ramifications of last week on the Ryder Cup selections. Scheffler, Xander, Colin, Henley, Bryson, JJ Spawn, top 6, automatic picks as it stands. McNealy jumps to 7 after a top 5 last week. Brian Harman jumps into the top 12, now in 8th. JT 9, Cantlay 10, Glover 11, Billy Horschel 12, Team Europe, McIlroy Hatton, Rasmus Højgaard, Shane Lowry, Ludvig Åberg, Thomas Dietrich. Matt Wallace jumps a spot after last week. Nicholas Norgaard, Tommy Fleetwood, Laurie Kanter, Paul Waring. He's still frightening the Americans, is Paul Waring. Teodor Bjørn Olsen jumps into the top 12 after a top five finish in San Antonio last week. Just keep an eye on that. I think the likes of a Wyndham Clark, Akshay Bhatia, there's a lot of Keegan Bradley himself. We got Victor Hovland did well the other week, Sepp Straka at the start. There's going to be names that aren't in those teams that are just going to, like Brian Harman last week, click, and all of a sudden win a golf tournament. Very, very harsh conditions. I did land, thankfully. It was so frustrating. I kept seeing my players around the top of the leaderboard. Daniel Berger was in the top five at a certain point. I was going to say Ben Griffin, Paul, but that I don't think that ever happened. Our romantic notion that Ben Griffin was going to win and qualify for the Masters didn't happen. I'll ignore that next year when you come up with the same process. I also had at one stage Corey Connors sitting in third place for pretty much the whole of Saturday, and you're thinking, oh, I've got half a chance here. Then he went double bogey, bogey to finish. But I did land Ryan Gerrard full each way at 70-1. So thank you, Ryan. I think he's a good player in the making, Ryan Gerrard. It has to be said. It was all magic beans, though. He was driving it off the planet. But his around the green game and putting were absolutely phenomenal. So thank you, Ryan. Magic beans saved me this week with a full each way at 71. Much appreciated.
Very good.
Didn't you get a place as well? Did you backdoor Barry Bud Cooley?
I did, yeah, for a chopped place. It was nice to get there. Keith Mitchell seems to just hate the top of the leaderboard.
Tea, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Keith Mitchell.
Mitchell's. It made me think of Kingpin and getting Munsoned out somewhere. Yeah, we got Mitchell out there. I wonder, I have to look into it. Is it the does the wind kind of hit him a bit worse than it does other players? I'm not sure. I was just making that kind of connection because the wind picked up and his scores went up as well in parallel. So I wonder if it's that. Yeah. Or I wonder if it's that, or he's very particular about his shots and exacting on himself. So if the shots don't come out the exact window he's thinking of, it seems to get him down a bit more than others. So I wonder whether he's got a little bit of that early kind of Hideki's about him where, you know, Hideki would really beat himself up if he didn't hit the shot well. Still does a bit on times, but seems to have kind of learned to live with that burden that he has. So I don't know, just some thoughts, because the guy is so talented and kind of more fun to watch than others. So it's hard to kind of avoid backing him when he looks like he may have a good week.
Mm.
He's a fantastic driver, and when he's on it, his approach play is top hole, especially very good with his long irons.
But when he's in
contention, he literally melts like an Easter egg, doesn't he, in the sun. We used to have an advert over here for Tango, and it, you know, you've been tangoed. I think you've just been Keith Mitchell'd.
Yeah, look, Steve, I'm okay with this. You can abuse me as much as you want. You can put him on a triple diamond platinum status on the post-it note of doom.
Listeners are going to ask, Barry, are you putting him on any form of post-it note of doom just to save your own sanity?
What I might do is put him on the no-fly list for the moment. So he's not, you know, put no bets on him, but I can still support him. So I don't know what, so there might be some other analogy to do for that. But he's one of my swing crushes as well. He swings, it's just such a great tempo and flow.
So Keith Mitchell is grounded, yeah?
There you go. Whatever. Yeah, grounded. Yeah, put him in the corner. I don't know.
Until next time.
Exactly, until next time he's playing.
I haven't tipped him up for ages because I've kind of worked him out, which really means that I should actually put him as an inductee on the post-it note of doom, because I literally look at Keith Mitchell and always go, nah.
No.
But, yeah, I don't know. Until I back him and he does it to me,
Steve.
I can't really do it.
I kind of need you to do it, Steve. This could be the trigger. This could be the thing that flips his whole career. Gets him another win.
Well, Keith Mitchell isn't Augusta, so we can't back him this week, but The Augusta National vibes are with us. It's the 2025 Masters. Very, very excited. I've got my selections ready to go, five of them. I'm not really going to go into much detail around the course. I will just go to the previous podcast on this feed. There is as much course information, trend information, data angles that you would wish for. So just look at that. Take your time, listen to it. It's about an hour and 5 minutes purely of research information. So check that one out. Well worth listening to. Barry's on there, Paul and myself. One thing I will add, there was 1.34 inches of rain last night, Monday afternoon at Augusta National. And for those of you in Europe, that is 34 millimetres of rain. The forecast, though, I think is very good. I'm not seeing any breezes higher than 15 miles an hour on Thursday, which will keep them honest. But this isn't going to be what we saw last year, where it was gusting 30 miles an hour for the opening 36 holes. Friday, a slight increase from when I wrote my tips on Monday morning. It looks like it could be gusting up to 20. It is a westerly direction. Now, that's interesting. Because westerly direction around Augusta means that 13 and 15 are playing into the wind.
Brilliant.
So that's likely to toughen scoring on the back nine, that westerly wind direction. Saturday and Sunday, calm as you like. Only threat of rain across the full 4 days from this point onwards is Friday morning, and currently on Vandergrund, it's being estimated at a 68% chance of showers. No electrical activity Friday morning, and it looks like it's for a couple of hour period. My view on this, since I've started looking at this at the start of last week, I think we could get to, I wouldn't say peak, but I think we could get to the Masters that we love, where effectively the organisers can put tough pin placements in and they can get those greens super firm, super crispy. And we haven't seen that for a couple of years.
Mm.
They are going to defend this course. The weather isn't going to defend Augusta. They're going to need to defend it with the speed of the greens, which they're more than capable of doing with the best sub-air system in the business, both on the fairways and the green. So I think this is going to play as a firm and fast Masters.
Yep, that's good.
I watched a pretty cool Golf Digest video about their range last night, and they have a sub-range warming thing that'll keep get the soil in good condition if it's frosty out. So let's say the course is frosty and there's a frost delay. They can heat up the turf on the range to simulate how the course will play when it defrosts in a little while for the players to play. It's unbelievable. They spent $140 million on it, the range.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing, mate. It's fascinating stuff. It has to be said. I'm playing with our predictor model, Paul. Sorry. I mean, if you're going to play with something, let's play with your predictor model.
Mm.
All I'm trying to do, I'm trying to maximise firm golf courses and give the listeners a list of who the players have been over the last 5 years that are best on firm golf courses. Here we go. I've got a list. Top 10. Will Zalatoris, Bryson DeChambeau, Sam Burns, wouldn't touch him with yours. 7, Denny McCarthy. 6, Colin Morikawa. 5, Xander. 4, Scotty Scheffler. 3, John Rahm. 2, Rory McIlroy. Have a guess, chaps. One guess each. The best player last 5 years on firm golf courses. PGA Tour and majors.
It'll probably be something obscure like Tony Finau or something like that.
Good guess, but not correct. Barry?
I was kind of half paying attention. Xander? Unless you've mentioned him already.
No, Xander's five.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
You're still placing your bets, aren't you? I know how you work.
I'm not, no. Somebody was annoying me with work on a messaging platform, Teams. I don't know, Tommy Fleetwood, Firm Courses.
Brilliant. You've got it right. Tommy Fleetwood, number one, Firm Golf Courses. Just out of the top 10, Fitzpatrick, wouldn't touch him with yours. Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama, Victor Hovland, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, and Maverick McNealy.
Number 10 in the world now. According to the OWGR, I don't know about Data Golf, but my God, how high has that guy got up on the tables?
Absolutely. And number seven for Team USA in the Ryder Cup qualification.
Yeah, I'm not sure the OWGR is telling the whole story, is it? But you've seen a lot of these players nip into the top 10 with a win or two or some decent finishes.
33rd on Data Golf.
Yeah.
So there's a disparity, all right, isn't there?
That feels a little bit more consistent.
They're quaking over Paul Waring. We're quaking over Maverick McNealy. Right, where do we start this? Where are we on Scottie Scheffler? Let's answer some of the listeners' questions. Scottie Scheffler, where are you two on Scottie Scheffler? Nine to two, best price favourite, defending champion, world number one.
No bet,
Paul.
I think he was that price last year, with a way better lead in on winning and form.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point, Barry. You're talking about a similar kind of level, and I think you might have been 4-1 or thereabouts. But yeah, not out of the same.
Yeah.
Range where he is at the moment, yet his form coming in, and of course there's been the fitness issues about Scheffler for 25 today, and yes, he's improved, and yes, he finished second at Houston again, which he did last year also, but the wins that he had in 2024 leading up to his Masters win just haven't been there. He doesn't fit that same mold. He doesn't fit many of the trends that we've talked about on the preview pod and that you've included in the in your preview article, Steve. And yeah, ultimately, at that price, I can leave him alone. The defending champion point, again, you know, these trends are there to be beaten, but you have to go back to Tiger before you find a defending champion who successfully defended the following year. That'd make it three Masters wins in 4 years.
Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus.
The only man to do it in the 60s. Not boding well, is it?
No, I don't see a scenario where Scheffler isn't in the conversation, but whether he goes and wins the tournament, I just have significant enough doubts to not be playing at 9-2 or thereabouts.
Feels like he'll be coattailing the top kind of 8, top 10. He'll be there on the leaderboard, but not... properly connected to the threat of winning a green jacket.
Yeah, and we've seen a level of frustration out of him this year, and you know maybe that's been born from his from the recovery from his injury and the subsequent form that's come out of that. He's just not quite hitting Scottie Scheffler peak levels, and I think to win the Masters, you've got to be playing some pretty good stuff.
Do you think mentally he's become a victim of his own success? That everything was so perfect last year that he's there's you're always your brain's always going to be going back to that going, I was doing that only a few months ago. Why can't I hit the ball like that this week? Why have I missed another five greens in this tournament versus last year?
Yeah,
I wonder if there's an internal battle on that, and the fact that he's still playing quite well but not winning. It's testament to how strong his mental game is, but you can see it's beating him up something's beating him up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the factor.
Yeah, potentially, Barry. And I mean, you played golf at an far, far, far higher.
Terrible, level than, terribly low level.
But significantly higher than Steve and myself. But you'll know that the game is so fickle that, you know, one day or 1 month you can be going out and playing some really good stuff, and then it can suddenly change. And I backed Rory at Houston last time out, and the way he started that tournament, the first round, where a lot of his drives, a lot of his approaches were going left, a lot of his putts were going left, and you're thinking, well, this is the guy who's just won the Players, and everything was, you know, almost perfectly aligned. And he's come to the next tournament, and everything seems to be out of line. And then by the end of the tournament, again, you know, he's recovered that, he's finished fifth, he's looking good again. But that shows you how things can change, you know, on a sixpence.
So quickly. One day to the next, like you said, or a group of holes to another group, and you feel like everything is the exact same. I'm not saying I have anywhere near the level of fundamentals that these guys have, but you can feel like you're in a great spot for a few rounds in a row, and then you wake up one morning, you're like, this is great, and you go out there, everything's the same, and next thing you know, the ball's doing a completely different thing, and you cannot get your head around it. So, and these guys are so much more finely tuned, so I can only imagine the level of detail and nuance they get into when something just doesn't quite feel right, and that can just kind of worm its way in. And maybe that's the thing that's manifesting in that frustration we're seeing out of him. Just not saying outbursts, but, you know, for a Scotty, they're proper tantrum, but they're just little frustrations you see. And this is a huge test of that for him, defending the Masters.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Two things from me. Barry's absolutely right. Last year, Scotty Scheffler won this at 4-1 favourite. He had won Bay Hill. He had won at Sawgrass. He had finished second at Houston. And he's the same. Paddy Power have been really tight, and they are 4-1 on Scotty Scheffler to win the Masters 12 months later, when his form is nowhere near the same. So that for me speaks for itself. I just want to throw into this one as well, Paul, the angle you were coming at. Look through past results, and since 1960, only Jack Nicklaus, 1965 to 66, Nick Faldo, 1989 to 90, and of course Tiger Woods, 01 to 02, have defended their Masters title, a pretty selected group, from an each-way punting perspective. Get this, since Tiger defended successfully in 02, only Woods himself in 06 and Jordan Spieth in 2017, infamous, have finished in the top five when defending. That is the weight that is sitting on Scotty Scheffler, with Paddy Power putting him up at exactly the same price as they did 12 months ago, the winning price last year. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole, personally.
No, you never say never with Scotty, but I think there's enough reason out there to swerve him this week.
I'm going to throw something at you here. Now, I look for trends. I use data a lot. Now, stick with me. Regulars will know, especially on my betting previews, I put there, and I know for a fact that lots of people use this information and data. Barry uses it. Quite right. It's quite useful. There's a strokes gain putting metric on there. So basically, we're looking at the field, ranking them. Who's been the best putters over the last 8 weeks on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour? Can't throw any live data in there, guys. Sorry, that's physically impossible. Okay. Interesting enough, if I go back through Masters history, the last 8 majors have been won by players sitting in the top 25 of my rolling strokes gained putting stat. 11 of the past 12 have sat in the top 25 of that rolling strokes gained putting stat. The only exception was Cam Smith when he won the Open at St Andrews. He didn't sit in the top 25, but the outing before, he'd finished fourth for strokes gained putting. Do you want a list of big name players that aren't sitting in that top 25 for strokes gained putting number?
Got them.
Right now. And it's going to, you know, it's not breaking people's hearts, because clearly we're recording this before the Masters, but there's some names in here that you might not want to hear. Colin Morikawa, Ludwig Oberg, Xander Schauffele, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Cantlay, this one won't shock you in any way, shape or form, the next one, Tommy Fleetwood, Will Zalatoris, Sepp Straka, and this one won't surprise anyone, especially me because I was on him last week, Corey Connors. Trends in it, blah, 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 blah. But I just thought I'd highlight that one before we start going through our tips, our selections, and just going through the market. There's a lot of big-name players there that aren't putting very well at the moment, and that doesn't translate to winning major championships.
Well, hang on. Just because you're not putting very well doesn't mean you can't do well at Augusta. Look, you know, going back to our pod last
week. No, it doesn't.
The breakdown of strokes, gain percentages, and skill sets you need for Augusta. Putting only contributes, what, something around 10% to your strokes gained for the week?
But it does mean that 11 of the past 12 major champions across all of those courses, three of them playing at the Masters, were in decent putting form, arriving as they actually won their major.
No, that,
which kind
true.
Of makes logical sense, doesn't it? Because if you're not hitting the bucket with your putts, it's going to be a struggle, isn't it?
It puts pressure on the rest of your game, and that impacts your short game and your approach game, and it's a cascade effect.
I think the short of it at Augusta is you don't need to putt lights out, but I think you need to be gaining maybe half a stroke thereabouts per round. That'd
be lovely.
Yeah, if you get some.
Barry is right.
That's the kind of the Scottie Scheffler approach, isn't it? Where the rest of the game is absolutely spot on, and he just gains enough with a putter, does enough with a putter to get himself ahead of the rest of the field.
I think the entire field would bite your hand off for plus half a stroke putting per day. Yeah.
That's the magic number. 89% of strokes gained here for the four previous champions have been tee to green. 34% around the greens, which absolutely amazes me. 30% with the approach, 25% with the driver. It's basically 11% putting. But Matsuyama gained a quarter of a stroke. Scheffler the first time, three quarters of a stroke per round. Rahm, half a stroke. Scheffler, half a stroke. You cannot be minus five on the greens and put the green jacket on.
Mm. Yep. No, agreed.
Well, I'm going to hit you at the top. I have tipped up Rory McIlroy. So 5 points the win. I got the most bizarre price known to man. It was an enhanced win-only price through Bet365 of 27-4. I don't think I've ever said that in a podcast.
Yeah, it's just a shade under 7-1. Yeah.
You'll never forget it, Steve, when Rory does it. Oh, I was on him at 27-4.
Now, I keep hearing, especially American podcasts, he's cursed, won't, can't, not going to happen, it's Rory, this kind of angle. One thing I will say with Rory, he's playing the best golf he's ever played going into a Masters for a long, long time, if not ever. And I just love that quote that he stated to the press before the Houston Open, where it's, I've dug into what Scottie Scheffler has done well over the last couple of years, and I'm trying to replicate it. And Paul and yourself, Barry, you both hit on this at the Players. Commentators on Sky kept saying, this isn't vintage Rory. This isn't the Rory McIlroy we use. And that's because he was strategizing the course and what he needed to do to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And that, for me, was the green light to say, this could be the year that he finally puts it all to bed, gets the green jacket, the Grand Slam, and his fifth major. Mm. Am I literally Am I completely barking up the wrong tree here, gentlemen?
I can't be objective on this, Steve, so I'm going to just stand cool. back from this section.
Yeah, stand back, Barry. Okay, stand back. No, Paul, what do you think?
I'm entirely agreeing because I've looked down the list of the players at the very top, and I think you can pick holes as much as you can pick holes in some of the most elite players in the world, pick holes in their chances this week. And yeah, I think the hole that you could pick with Rory is probably his mental state when he's come to Augusta over the last few years. And, you know, he needs this, of course, to complete his personal Grand Slam. No major since 2014, which is mad, really, when you think about the chances that he's had. But for me, arguably the best golfer in the world right now in terms of his 2025 form. I mean, won the DP World Tour Championship at the back end of last year again, won in Pebble, won the Players, as we just said. But for me, I think you've got this mental approach that's saying, okay, I know that to win more golf tournaments, I need to be less gung-ho and a little bit more boring, as you've described it, as he described. But also, I think you've got the fact that his home life is settled. He seems happy. And for me, that's the final piece of the jigsaw. I think having his family around him helps. I'm sure we'll see Poppy on the par three competition, and no doubt she'll be running onto the green if he wins on 18 on Sunday. I think that whole family setup means a hell of a lot to him. And if that's the final part of the jigsaw that completes him in terms of his preparation and his chances this week, then I think he's ready to go. I think he's ready to win this Masters, and I think he's going to win. I've backed him, as you can probably tell from my tone, and I think he's had the perfect preparation. You talk about what Scheffler did last year and his lead up to winning the Masters. Rory's record this year is not dissimilar, is it, in any shape or form?
No.
It fits the bill, I think.
This idea as well about gaps between majors, I've articulated this in my tips, but Jack Nicklaus went 5 years with none until he captured the Masters in 86. Ernie Els went 10 years between major wins. Phil Mickelson waited 8 years before his 2021 PGA Championship victory. And Tiger Woods went 11 years between the 2008 US Open. And when I say years, I mean with Tiger, it was tribulations and all manner of, you know, different elements to his life. Between his 08 and his 2019 Masters win. Now, I'm not being disrespectful and saying that, you know, Rory McIlroy is Tiger Woods, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I think what Rory's achievements have been, 28 PGA Tour victories to date, blah, 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 blah. I think he gets put in a cupboard where actually people think, Rory's really not that good because he's not very good in majors. For him to win his fifth major here and kind of 10 and a half years after his last one, as we've seen, the best players in history have all gone through the same periods of drought. And how old is Rory? There's plenty more majors to come, mate.
Yeah.
Plenty more to come.
Yeah, potentially. He's got a good few.
I'm just talking, not in terms of potential victories, but just the amount of majors he's going to actually physically play in.
Yeah.
There's got to be more wins. Got to be.
Yeah, but we've said the same thing for years on end, but it does feel different now. I think his game's in the right shape, and everything converging, I think.
The problem is, me in particular have been banging the drum for years just because I want it to happen so much. So you kind of invent reasons to back yourself up. And I had a few friends I was out with who would casually follow golf. They'd kind of look into the majors and the players. And they asked who I was backing as my, you know, top pick. I said, Rory. And immediately, like, big surprise. What? Again? Come on. Seriously? Yeah. I said, okay, I'll put it to you this way. If I removed Rory's name from his CV for the last 6 months and showed you what he's done and his stats going into this, you'd pick that player 10 times out of 10. Mm. So it's the name and all that goes with it that kind of has everybody you know, looking at the 2011 collapse and the year when Patrick Reed won 2018 when he shot 74. So, but yeah, those are the only two massive moments I can see that people would latch on to say that he's cursed at Augusta. The rest of the time, there was no huge chance there, you know, in terms of he should convert this. So in 17 years, there's just those two things. So I don't think it's a massive curse. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, we could be proven geniuses or fools by the time Sunday evening rolls around.
If we take the last nine US-based majors, the last nine, so I'm going back to the Masters 2022, Rory has a second, that was the Masters, an eighth, a seventh, a fifth, a second, and a second. 3 seconds in the last nine US-based majors. It's not as if he's finishing 39th here, is it?
No.
Something's coming. But anyway, so we're all on the Rory boat. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I'll just say one final thing.
Go on, then.
How many times have we come into the podcast the week after the Masters and we've done our post-mortem on the performance in the week and the bets that we've had? Don't. And we've concluded that the most informed player on any of the tours coming into the Masters has won the tournament and slapped ourselves around the head and said that was the form. It was as simple as that. The guy was playing the best golf and he's gone and won the tournament.
The last 3 years?
Yeah. We've said it literally every time, you know, and the... You know, I've got the sound of those words ringing in my ears. And for me, the guy playing the best golf right now, 2025, is Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. It's like, of course he won. That look back eye just the week after. Well, of course he was going to win it. He was miles ahead of everybody else.
Yep.
Agreed.
God, I hope we're right, lads. This is just so big this week.
Oh, dear. Right. See. That's the big two dealt with. We're now down to John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau. They're all very similarly priced. Now, Scheffler was 16-1 when he won the first time. We've got three single-digit winners in the last 5 years as well. DJ was single digits. Scheffler the second time, and John Rahm was as well. And then, of course, you've got the outlier, 45-1, Hideki Matsuyama. So just taking recent trends, if Scheffler and McIlroy weren't going to win, the winner would likely be John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, or Bryson DeChambeau. I'm going to ask you two, are you on either of those players? And if you were going to back one of those three, who would it be? So I'll start with you, Paul. Are you on either Rahm, Morikawa or DeChambeau this week?
No, I'm not. I couldn't get
who of the three would you pick if a gun was held to your head?
I think if I was, if not for the win, if you were offering me an each way opportunity with 8 or 10 places, I think the most likely to place out of those three would be Colin Morikawa, simply because that's what he's done for the last 3 years and he's been playing some good golf. I think there's less variance in his performance compared to the potential variance from the other two.
Agreed.
So if I were going down an each way route, then that would be the way. And I think I'd only be able to go that way because my inclination is that Rory wins the golf tournament. So that would be the way that I would play. I haven't played it that way because I think a 16-1 each way chance or less, depending on how you play the places, doesn't really appeal to me. But yes, that would be my answer.
I couldn't have answered that question any better. Barry, have you got a different viewpoint on Rahm, Morikawa or DeChambeau?
I think Rahm has a higher percentage chance of winning the tournament. In the absence of, let's say, Rory or Scotty, but even with Rory or Scotty, Rahm has a higher percentage chance than Morikawa. But in terms of getting an each way place, I think Morikawa, has a little bit of higher percentage chance than Rahm. Just a little bit of variance. And look at Bryson's record. He's only had one top 10 in Augusta. The rest of the time, it's fine. Made cuts and a couple of missed cuts. So it's very volatile in terms of what could happen. Like if Bryson finished second or third this year, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I see how he got there, but it would be a bit of an eyebrow raiser.
I keep saying Dave Tindall's trends piece is fantastic. He highlights that previous winners here, top 20 greens in regulation prior to winning, Bryson has never hit enough greens here. He's never been in the top 20 for greens in regulation across all of his outings here, including last year when he was right up there after 36 holes because he got the windbreak and it was a soft golf course on Thursday. I think he struggles around here. I genuinely do. However, I will put this on record. Bryson DeChambeau for the PGA Championship. He is in my selections already. He's going to love Quail Hollow.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that.
He's going to be ripping and gripping. Right. That then takes me to a part of the odds board that I can't bet from, and I'm only basing this on history and also on the fact that I'm not really a fan of the players that are sitting in these price points, because if you look at the winning prices of winners here at the Masters, there is a gap between 16-1 and 28-1 where nobody going back to 2010 in that price range has actually won the Masters. So for me, Ludvig Åberg, Justin Thomas, who is everybody's sweetheart statistically. I mean, if you look at the stats, Justin Thomas is going to win this by 9 shots. Xander, with the issues he's had with the ribs and the lack of play. And Joaquin Niemann, who has done nothing in majors whatsoever. Personally, I made the decision not to go with any of those guys. Now, Barry, I believe you might have backed one of those named players. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I did. Just on the exchange, I just thought it was insane. Like, I was watching his press conference last night. He was asked about the rib. He said there's been no issue with it since he's come back. Didn't look like a lie. I'm not saying I'm a great poker player, but didn't seem to be a lie coming out of him. So, okay, fine. There's no issue with the rib. And he's 28-1. He's 28 on the exchange. I just thought this is insane.
You can back him now at 25-1 with BetVictor. 5 places and a quarter of the odds.
Like, won 2 majors last year, had an elite strokes gained. Was it approach or tee to green his last time out? It was 11.2. Sorry, I can't remember.
Yeah,
it was
approacher.
And he's 28. And he's got a tasty record around here. So I had to add him just to the win only book.
Okay. So you're on Xander. Paul, are you in on any of those players?
No, I'm not. I've got one directly below,
My first selection is 45-1. So let's go to yours next then.
Yeah. Well, I look down this list, and the question I ask myself is: apart from the very obvious ones at the very top, which of the players has got the minerals to win this golf tournament this week? And the name that stands out to me is Brooks Koepka. So I've backed him 30-1, 8 places each way, which is still available as we record this on Tuesday morning. I mean, the guy's won 2 US Opens, 3 PGA Championships. We talked at length about his approach to focusing and peaking for major championships in the past. I think very little's changed. Yes, he's playing over and live, and you know, with that, you're gonna have different levels of performances based on any given week. That's not to say that he's done poorly over there, because he hasn't by any stretch. But he's coming into this off the back of second at Singapore 3 weeks ago, 18th last week at Doral. That would have just been a loosener for me last week over at Doral. Twice a runner-up here. And for me, of the players and the names that we've gone through just then, he's the one that I think has the ability to win the green jacket. Liv Greenbrier just 8 starts ago on the Liv Tour. So just, you know, falls short of the stats that we talked about on the preview pod, because that was 8 starts ago for him. Fairly poor major season for him by his standards last year. His best was 26th, but I think he's playing better stuff right now. And, you know, as I say, of the players near the top, that's the one that really catches my attention. So rather than ignore it, I've backed him accordingly.
Excellent stuff. Brooks Koepka in majors, never a bad option, I always think. Mm. And as you would have known, Paul, I would have, I was staring at Brooks for a long while before ignoring him.
Yeah.
That's a positive rather than a negative, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
35
to 1 with Unibet, 7 places each way right now. Brooks Koepka. That's a big price.
And there's not much noise about him. Again, it's one of those. You know, he's almost out of sight, out of mind over on Liv. And, you know, the top 20 last week doesn't scream anything. But I'd never put any credence really into his performance immediately before a major, because his mind and his focus is on the week after.
I still say Liv players are shunned by a big percentage of the golf betting community. Because they're not playing PGA Tour.
Yeah, and a lack of stats as well that we're now accustomed to. So it's hard to find something convincing to back them. Paul, just a caveat, I fell into the Koepka trap last year and he failed miserably to impress in the majors. That said, I think there is a little bit more light on the subject this year round. It feels a little bit more positive. So that number is, if he goes and does it, is insane for a man that's won 5 majors.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely where I'm thinking.
What are your next prices in terms of selections, champs?
80 and above for me.
Barry?
Yes, Paul. I have a couple in the kind of the mid range. So, because I'm so convinced on Rory, these are more just filling up the top 10 spots to grab each ways. So, okay. Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Just the guy just turns it on for majors. Great record around here. I don't think I need to say much more than that. See how that goes. I've been convinced on the lefty angle for Bob McIntyre for some time.
Yeah.
So I kind of grabbed these guys just on the exchange as kind of bet boosters because it's a major and I feel like treating myself. So let's see, can we get a big something out of them? But I have to go find the right kind of combo of odds and places for them. I think I'm going to make sure I have at least 8 places.
Because I got up at 4 in the morning and worked like an absolute Trojan yesterday. I don't want any applause or any kind of, you know, that's just the way we roll at Golf Betting System. Don't forget, you don't pay for any of the content. I managed to get Robert McIntyre at 50 to 1 yesterday.
Take it away, Steve.
That's a cracking price. That was with Betfred, I believe, Paul.
Mm.
8 places each way, 50 to 1 on Robert McIntyre. Don't forget, there's this gap in the prices. So you do get 45, 50, 55s, even 66 to 1 shots occasionally winning the Masters. Most recent, Hideki Matsuyama. I just love Robert McIntyre this week. Playing some really nice golf. He's settled down in the United States. He's getting top 6, top 8 finishes on the PGA Tour regularly, consistently. And you look at him statistically, he's long enough. He's putting well enough. And he's got a decent little record around Augusta. 12th on debut. 22nd on the other outing. And look at the local press up in Scotland saying to the guys up there, really, really, really can't wait to get back. Augusta National is my favourite golf course of the year. What is there not to like? So, yeah, Robert McIntyre.
Yep. Yeah, I know you've been sweetening him for this for a few weeks. So, good price, I think.
Yeah, like nice catch price on that.
Don't forget as well, chaps, you know, Paul, you went into a lot more detail around this in terms of the Masters Research podcast, the podcast before this, so go and listen to it. McIntyre was eighth at last year's PGA Championship. Mm. So it's not as if he hasn't had a contending performance in an American major recently, because he has. That's a good box to tick.
Yep, and he's certainly escalated a level or two over the last year or so. He deserves to be up there with the, you know, some of the very best players in the world. It wouldn't be the biggest shock to see him place or better this week.
A box that Robert doesn't tick is a win in the last six. Mm. Again, lovely trend. Was it 11 in the last 13?
Yes.
Had won in the previous six outings, blah, blah, blah. Here's another set of stats I really like. Birdie or better, PGA Tour this year, 10th. 7th for par 4 birdie or better. 2nd for distance to apex. Oh, this guy can hit it high. 9th for driving distance, all drives. And in the top 11 in my rolling around the green statistics over the last 8 tournaments, he won on his last outing. He's also got a very quiet, strong Augusta record. He was 6th. I can't give you a top 6 or 8 at a major last year, although I think he was top 28 across 3 of the 4. I can give you a top 5 finish, though, in the US Open in 2023. That's a very similar form line to John Rahm, who didn't win or have a top 10 at a major the year before he won the Masters. And I'm not putting this guy in that category, by the way. In the end, I just had to go for Minwoo Lee. I think Minwoo, especially with Bo on the bag, the other thing that grabbed me with Min, or Minwoo, is the fact that when he's won in the past, on his outings after, he's finished 6th and 3rd. He's that kind of momentum player. When he's playing well, he just seems to be able to piece together some fantastic tournaments. And when he's playing badly, he just misses tons and tons and tons of cuts. But he must be so bolstered by winning that PGA Tour maiden title last time out. And 36-hole leader at the Players the outing before that, he seems to have stepped up a level. Great short game, amazing putter. He ranks number 1 for strokes gained putting across my last 8-week metric. By the way, McIlroy 7, McIntyre 15. So yeah, Minwoo for me. Mm. I think he could have a big week. And Scheffler last year, 26 years of age, he was the 7th 20-something in the last decade to claim a green jacket. Minwoo, I believe, is 20. So yeah.
It's been kind to the 20-somethings, hasn't it?
I'm on Minwoo Lee at 45-1 with Betfred 8 places each way. Just missed out on 50-1 by about 5 minutes. But yes.
Should have got Minwoo up earlier, 45s.
Steve. Huh? I need to get so up at 3 a.m. Should have got up earlier.
There you go.
In fact, I'm going to try 2 a.m. In fact, I'm not even going to go to bed.
Just this is the dedication you get.
Open straight into the Masters.
Power through.
Right. I've done this deliberately as well, chaps, because I don't think this guy's going to win the Masters. I have maxed out price and each way places. Thank you to Ladbrokes. They offered 10 places each way, a 50 odds. So a coral, by the way. I've said in previous podcasts, and I've been saying this for a while, I back this guy on the exchange at 170. I've just checked my phone before we went to record this. He's now 100 to back, 110 to lay. I got him 55-1 with Ladbrokes, 10 places each way. Sergio Garcia. I can feel the hate coming through the line from Paul Williams, but I'm going with Sergio for a top 10 each way payout.
Yeah, I can't comment because I've got a couple of players that aren't the most popular coming up as well. But yes. No, Sergio's playing some good stuff, Steve. I can't dispute him.
I can't wait to see what happens at the Ryder Cup when Sergio makes a team, because he plays well this year. He's paid his fines.
Yeah. I think you've got to back Sergio on non-live events this year, because he's so desperate to qualify. He's got to do something. So I'm going to put him up, you know, Hail Mary. I'm going to put him up at the PGA Championship as well. It has to come. Otherwise, he doesn't get into Team Europe.
Just for the listeners, for a caveat before Steve sells you on it, Sergio's missed the cut in 5 of his last 6 Masters.
Yeah. But he's also won here.
He did. Before that, I can't deny that. We all know he's got a green jacket, but just since then, one time he's made the cut. He finished 23rd 3 years ago.
And he's won in his last 6 tournaments. And let's be frank here, 6th, 18th, 1st, 32nd, 4th, 3rd. That's his form line. Not bad for a 55-1, 10 places each way shot, is it?
No.
And yes, he's playing LIV and he's playing Macau. But he's playing good golf. Just watch him. I was watching him at Doral on Saturday, and his long iron play was what you expect from Sergio. It was good. And he can scratch. And do you know what? He wasn't missing 1 foot putts. He's actually making a few putts as well. Now, I wasn't suggesting that he was like Phil Mickelson on the greens, but he was making putts. So, yeah, he's in. 55-1, Ladbrokes 10 places each way. Sergio Garcia. Hopefully, it's a big hope, I might be able to trade. Oh, to be fair, I could trade out and make a small profit now. I might be able to trade out of him, because I'm not suggesting he's going to win, because I'd be amazed. But anyway, Sergio Garcia is in for me. I've got one more 90-1, but Barry, how are you finishing off your selections before we go to Paul? Because I know Paul's got some big prices.
He does. Yeah, if memory serves me correct, it was a fairly sunny and nice year that he won. It was, you know, the course wasn't super soft.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, look, I took a bit of Sergio on the exchange as well when Steve pointed out all the factors coming together. So I'm there with you, Steve. Let's go. Hopefully, can get a bit of a trade out on it.
Yep.
I don't think I'll bother with the each way. Because at some point I have to stop backing players. I don't do book balancing. I'd like to get a little bit of a win and a bit of action. So I'm a terrible punter. The last one I'm interested in, I think it's just a dreadfully disrespectful price for a man who is super high in the world. He's, what is he, 16th in Data Golf rankings, 14th in the Archaic OWGR, multi-winner on the PGA Tour. Like, he's long enough, has enough of everything about his game to go well. It's Sepp Straka.
Yeah. We mentioned him in those Ryder Cup rankings. He's another one, isn't he? Like, he needs to keep playing well. Has got a victory on the PGA Tour this year.
As long as he keeps playing fine, I think he's on the team. I don't see enough to get ahead of him, but the guy's just leveled up year on year. And his record is progressive here at Augusta. Played 3 times, kind of improving every time. So, yeah, I like the bet. I think I can catch him 55-1, 8 places.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The one I'm regretting, not bad.
Solo bet. Go on.
You know, you always get... I'm getting regrets already. And people, you know, people will shoot me down. But Phil Mickelson's playing some really good stuff on LIV this year. And if there's one guy that knows how to get around this golf course, it's Phil Mickelson. But anyway, I haven't put him up.
Tournament. You know, the older guys can play well here.
There's a couple on LIV that he's played quite nicely on.
No. I'm saying if there's one tournament that the older guys can kind of...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Wily their way around.
Phil Mickelson, mate. He's playing some really nice... Maybe he thinks he's going to get on the Ryder Cup team for the Americans. Can you imagine? Maybe he's going to qualify via the... by winning the Masters there. He was second here in 2023. That's two years ago.
He's been really popular as well. I mean, he's been backed in. I'm just looking through. He's as short as 55 to 1 now in places.
I know.
Absolute madness.
I'll finish off and then we'll hand over to you, Paul, to finish. Taylor Pendrith, I've gone 90 to 1 with Bet365. I've used their each way extra facility. We do mention this. And I've literally ratcheted it up. I've gone all the way to the right hand side. I've gone 12 places each way. Taylor Pendrith. When I just look at his statistics on a spreadsheet, and I know it's very dangerous to do, Taylor Pendrith literally is the kind of ideal that I would want for this golf tournament. He's long, he's high, he's accurate, he's a great iron player. He's absolutely pants around the green, but if he hits enough greens, and he's just been a two-time President's Cup player, he's no mug. I'm not suggesting he wins, but could I see Taylor Pendrith, and I've said this in my tips actually, top debutant market, I think Pendrith's a really good back. Also, he was first round leader last time out at the Houston Open. So maybe even a first round leader punt. But I've gone foolishly, I expect, because he'll finish 43rd after leading after round one or doing a Charlie Hoffman. But Taylor Pendrith, a point each way, 90 to 1 with 12 places each way for the Canadian. Maybe even top Canadian. I wouldn't be surprised if... would Nick Taylor be shorter than Pendrith? I don't know. But yes, I think there are markets you can squeeze Taylor Pendrith into, and I think he's going to have a reasonably good Masters on his debut.
I don't know about you, Paul, but I'm looking forward to sending in a little video of Pendrith ping-ponging back and forwards across the green because the short game's not sharp enough.
You boy, yeah. When these greens are 15 plus on the stimp.
Yeah. Not wishing it into existence for Taylor. Like, nothing against him, but it's more just to needle in on Steve.
I'll be in shock when Pendrith throws in an 80 on Saturday when the greens are nice and crispy.
I can almost see that image, Barry, with the little shot trails going from one side of the green to the bunker
with the Benny Hill music laid over the top.
But you two are laughing about Taylor Pendrith. Paul has got an absolute classic here in some of his long shots. We're going to love these. So, Paul, over to you.
Couple of very popular picks here, Paul. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
The first one isn't massively long, but I had to back him. We talked about him on the preview or the research pod. And going back to your point about the Ryder Cup and it being a huge motivational factor for some of the LIV players to win something big when they do get the opportunity, I think that's going to be a big motivator for Captain America, Patrick Reed. And as I say, we did talk about him on the research board, and quite rightly too, because metrics, and particularly the greens and regulation metrics that are coming out of his performances over on LIV or the Asian Tour have been really eye-catching. He was well-backed after opening up with a 5-under at Doral last week. He led by 2 after the first round. Finished 7th in the end, but there's no disgrace on that. He'd been runner-up in Macau the previous start. And the metric or the number that we talked about in the preview pod was that he hit over 90% of greens that week. Now, that was the third time in 12 starts that he's topped that greens in regulation number. That included his win in Hong Kong where he won and shot 59 in the third round there as well. And, of course, he's won here. He won in 2018. I was on board that week. I think you were on board, Barry, as well. Not missed a cut since that win at Augusta. 10th in 2020, 8th in 2021, 4th in 2023, 12th last year. He loves the place. And he's coming into this playing some good golf. I think the 80 to 1 that's still out there, you can get 100 on the exchange. Of course, if you want to go to extended places, you're going to have to take a shorter price than that. But I think from an each way perspective, Reed's well worth backing this week. So I'm in on Reed.
If he's up there, he's got stickability to the top, right? It feels so.
He's hanging around.
You don't really feel like you need those extended places to cover him off. You treat it like a win or a no win in terms of the each way payout. You're okay with accepting it.
But if you're happy to go to the 12 places price, bear in mind he's finished top 12, say, four times since his victory here in 2018. You know, that could be a really nice bet if you
can find a nice put him up last year. Listen to this, chaps. I put him up last year, 8 places each way, he finished 12. So if you really want to save it, for me, I'd take as many places as you can get, but clearly you're getting an absolute walloping on his price. I'm just scanning through Bet365 what price he is. 12. He is 50. 40 to 1, 12 places each way. Wow.
Has that changed already?
He's 75 to 1 with Bet365. If you want to go five places in a quarter. But
Yeah.
They know that he's a fantastic each-way price, shout, don't they? So they're slashing his each-way prices.
Yeah, and it depends how much of a chance extended. You want to take. I could see him in the vicinity of rewarding each-way backers. So hopefully he finishes high enough to pay me out.
Barry also, and I are patting you on the back for Patrick Reid. Right, on to the next one.
I've also backed JJ Spawn, 150 to 1. Again, 125 to 1 or less if you want the massively extended places. Playoff loser to Rory at Sawgrass, as we'll remember. I think he needed to win in regulation, really. Never got close to Rory in the Monday playoff. But I think that, you know, it's a decent effort. I think he'll come on for that. I think he can take great heart from that performance overall. He led the field for strokes gained tee to green on the week, which is no mean feat at TPC Sawgrass. Fifth for strokes gained around the green as well, which I think is an important stat for this week. And we shouldn't be surprised, really. He'd been playing some good stuff. Third at the Sony Open earlier in the year. First for approach and second for tee to green that week. And second at PGA National. We're playing some pretty impressive stuff. And only played here once back in 2022, but he was 23rd on debut, which again is no shame in that. Strokes gained positive on all metrics that week. Fifth for driving accuracy. So I suspect that the course suits his eye from off the tee, which again is no bad thing. So JJ Spawn for good, healthy three-figure prices.
Don't forget, top six for the Ryder Cup team for the Americans right now.
Well, he is, yeah.
So you translate that to those odds, great value.
Got a position to defend.
He did nice to get that price because he has been chopped all over the place.
Yeah, he's been
popular,
isn't he? You
can get 150s, seven places, and then you get 125s, eight now in Bet365. So good bet. I like it.
Yeah, I think anything three figures with some extended places this week on Spawn's worth taking, because I think he could sneak himself into that kind of
another pat
position.
On the back there, Paul, for JJ. Right, what's the final one? He says, knowing who it is.
Well, I'm not going to get a pat on the back from Barry for this one, because the final one I've backed is Charles Schwartzel, and we know that he won here back in 2011 when Barry had backed literally everyone else in the field other than Schwartzel. So I can't imagine that Barry's going to be on him.
I can feel the rage coming down the line.
I can almost.
There's more to just 2011. There's more to 2011 than just the other four of the top five that I had backed. It's the year Rory failed as well. This is just. This is an attack. This is a personal attack, Paul, at this stage.
It's purely a price play, Barry. 250 to 1 I got yesterday. Again, there's 200 up to 300 to 1 available right now, depending, again, how you want to play it. But 2011, 40 years of age he is now, 14 years on. So whether he can do it again 14 years later remains to be seen. But I think he might be able to sneak a place. Playing on the live circuit now, as we know. But he did pop up on the research pod again, because his short game has really been on point for quite some time now. I mean, to emphasise that, he topped the field for scrambling last week at Doral. That was the third time in just over a year he's topped that statistic on the tours that he has been playing. Finished second in the end last week, closed with a 66. Progressive form, 20th, 14th, 2nd over his last three starts. And has finished 3rd and 10th here since that win back in 2011. So it's not as if he's you know, it was a flash in the pan. It wasn't just a one-off that he performed well here. He's shown some ability here since. So at the price, again, you know, somewhere in the region of 200 to 300, depending how you want to play it, I think he's worth an each-way punt. So Schwartzel, Spawn, Patrick Reed, for me, for the longer prices, Koepka and Rory towards the top. That's me done. Cooked.
Without all the context of the history of Schwartzel, it's a good bet at that price.
Mm. Again, he's been back. There's been a few players that have been really popular over the last 24 hours or so.
I feel like he pops his head up way more like round one and then just fades away a lot. That's been his thing for quite a number of years at Augusta, so...
Mm.
I don't know. You're going to back that up by going first round leader on him as well, and then send him a thing of flowers too. How much you love him?
Potentially, I mean, we need to see the we need to see how the draw works out this week.
We need to know the draw times, don't we? Mm. You want it's those that little prime group late in the day tends to be where you want to be first round leader, isn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Just follow Paul at Golf Betting on X, and he will.
Mm.
Be putting his detailed first round leader statistics out there and any selections he goes with. So if you want to go along that line, just follow Paul on X. He'll be covering off the first round leader market tomorrow. I've gone Pendrith at 90s, 12 places each way. Garcia 55s, 10 places each way. McIntyre 50s, 8 places each way. Minwoo Lee 45s, 8s. And Rory McIlroy, the most inane 27-4 enhanced win only price with Bet365. Barry, do you want to recap quickly and then we'll do a runner?
Rory, Xander, Zalatoris, McIntyre, Straka.
Brilliant. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Brilliant. Best of luck,
you
boys.
You too, boys. Good luck, listeners.
Don't forget the boosted 15-2 rather than 13-2. Golf Betting System exclusive, Rory McIlroy Bet Boost with Bet365. I will put a link in the description box. Hope your bets go well, listeners. See you next week for the RBC Heritage and Corrales Championship. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the Golf Betting System. The Golf Betting System. It's the Golf Betting System Podcast.